My name is Montreal Powell, and I am OCBF.
I'm Krista Jones, and I am OCBF.
Hi, my name is Sandra Robinson, and I am OCBF.
My name is Jerry, and I am OCBF.
I'm Gail, and I am OCBF.
I'm Eric Dockery, and I am OCBF.
Lewis Scott, I am OCBF.
My name is Gerard, and I am OCBF.
Hey, church family, I'm Dallas Diggs, Executive Director Administration. I am OCBF.
It's not worth it to lose Jesus Christ just to accumulate what the world has to offer. It's not worth it. Please don't misunderstand me. It's okay to be blessed. It's okay if God prospers you. I don't agree with prosperity theology, but I do believe God prospers us. That's nothing wrong with that. But what he's saying is don't use that as an excuse to delay me being first. Don't let the physical world cause you to delay the spiritual world, because you're going to run into some things in life that money can't fix, job can't fix, friends can't fix, circumstances can't fix, and you're going to need God. So you better have been following him.
Good morning. I want to welcome you to our service at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. All of you who are members and all of you that are part of the body of Christ who are joining us this morning, this is different. I know it's different. I'm standing outside the church because we don't have to be inside of the church to be the church. And we're learning that in the times that we're in. We're excited to have church with you right now. We're going to get into worship. We're going to have a great message from my Father. And don't forget to get your communion ready. Make sure you have your crackers or your bread and your juice or your water, because we're going to have communion with you as well. Let's get started, because I can't wait to celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you.
We are excited and elated that you decided to join us here for our online worship experience at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. As we enter into this time of praise and worship, we want you to give God your best, even as you watch online. Right now, can you just shout with us, how great is our God? Come on, let's clap those hands in his presence. Father, we give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Everybody say, oh, 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 say, oh, 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 we give you glory, say, Father, we honor you, we honor your matchless name. We sing to the Father this morning, how great is our God. Let's sing together. We say,
how great
is our God?
Is our God.
Sing with me.
Sing with me,
how great
is our God?
And all will see. Hallelujah. We love to love you, Father. We magnify your matchless name. Let's all say this together.
I lift my hands to give you glory.
I lift my hands to give you praise.
I'll praise you, Lord.
Everybody shout, yeah. Shall yeah, yeah, yeah.
Father, we want to give you praise.
I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord. If you love him, shout yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lift my hands to give you glory. I lift my hands to give you praise. Shout yeah.
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 I lift my hands to give you glory.
I lift my hands
to give you praise.
I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord.
The fruit of my lips, with the waving of my hands, sometimes I'll just leap for joy.
I'll praise you, Lord,
to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the great I am, that I am a great God, great God, deserves great praise.
Praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord. Everybody just clap those hands. Father, we give you glory. Adoration belongs to you. We magnify you and we extol you. Be enthroned on our worship. As praises arise in this place, let your spirit be revealed in our midst. Lift up our bowed down heads. Encourage us. Empower us. Deliver our minds. We give you glory. Yes, Jesus, you're a great God. And we love to love you. I said, we love to love you, Father. There's no God like you. We magnify and worship your holy name. Father, we've searched the whole world. And we realize, we understand that there's no one. Shout out, no one like our God. Matter of fact, he is the greatest man I know. Come on, clap those hands. Father, we honor you. Yes, Lord. We love you, Father. There's no God like you. Yes, Jesus. So simply says,
Jesus is the greatest man I know. Jesus is the greatest man I know. Made the moon, the stars, the land, the sea, redemptive man of authority.
Jesus is the greatest man I know.
Jesus is the worthy Lamb of.
Father, we magnify your name. And if you feel like that right there at your seat, we want you to sing with us this morning. Hallelujah.
Jesus is the greatest man I know.
Sing that right there as you watch. Say, Jesus,
Jesus is the greatest man I know.
Made the moon, the land,
redemptive man of authority.
Jesus is the greatest man I know.
Yes, you are, Father.
Say,
Jesus is the worthy Lamb of God.
That is why we bow.
That is why we bow
before your throne.
Knowing you are God alone.
Jesus,
Jesus is the greatest man.
Oh, he's the greatest man. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
he's the greatest man.
We say.
Yes, Lord. He is.
Greatest man I know.
Lamb that was slain. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain. The humble Lamb was crucified, by his own he was denied. Jesus is the greatest man I know. Oh, 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 oh. He's the greatest man I know. Yes, Lord. Ha! He's the greatest man. Oh, 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 oh. Greatest. Say that again. Say. Oh. Sing it with us at your computer. As you watch us online. Oh. He's the greatest man. Say. He's the greatest. Father, we honor you and we love you. We give you all the glory. You are the greatest man I know.
Greatest man I know.
And we love to love you, God. We give you glory, Father. Oh. Father, we come to confess it in the room today that you're the greatest man. Say,
greatest man I know.
None can compare to you. There's nobody like you. You are the
greatest man I know.
You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the
greatest man I know.
Greater than anyone we've ever encountered. No one stands next to you.
Greatest man I know.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're the greatest man.
Greatest man I know.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're the greatest man.
Greatest man I know.
Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory.
Greatest man I know.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. The greatest man.
Greatest man I know.
Father, we magnify, we give you glory. We say,
greatest man I know.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus is his name. We give you glory.
Greatest man I know.
Yeah, Father, we magnify you, Jesus.
Greatest man.
Greatest man,
greatest
nobody,
man
like,
nobody like
him.
Nobody like him.
Nobody like him.
Nobody like
he's the greatest man. Say,
greatest man
nobody,
nobody like
nobody,
nobody like
and nobody.
Nobody like
he's the greatest man.
Greatest man,
nobody.
Nobody like God.
Father, we honor
nobody
you.
Like
Father, we reverence
nobody
you.
Like God.
You're the greatest man.
Greatest man.
Greatest man. Jesus is his name.
Greatest man.
Greatest man. Father, we honor you. Father, we give you glory.
Greatest man.
You are the greatest man. We say, oh, we say, we say, oh, say it again, we say, oh, oh, oh. Father, we love to love you, and we give you glory. Love to love you, and we give you glory. Say, oh,
oh, oh.
Say that with us. We say,
oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh. One more time. Everybody say,
oh.
Father, we glorify your name.
Who can stand against the Lord? No one can, and no one will. Who can stand against our King? No one can, and no one will. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. We say, who can stand? No one.
No one can.
And no one will.
No one will.
Say, who can stand?
Who can stand against the King?
No one can.
No one can.
And no one.
No one will.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh. The victory belongs. To Jesus. Victory belongs. We say that again. We say, oh, victory belongs to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, Father, we honor your presence. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs. Oh, yes, Jesus. Victory belongs to Jesus. So we put our trust in you, Father. Yes, we put our hope in you. This is why. Say, you will. You're a provider. And I find my victory in you. Forever victorious. Forever we win. Father, we give you glory. I find my victory. A strong provider, and we find our victory, healing, deliverance, forever victorious, forever we win. Yes, Jesus, I find my victory in you. Victory belongs, victory belongs. To Him, yes, Jesus.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
And the victory belongs. Victory belongs to Jesus. All of the victory belongs to you, God. Yes, Jesus.
Victory belongs to Jesus.
The victory belongs. All of the victory is yours. You're a strong. Your name. We love to love you, and we confess that the victory is yours, Jesus. Oh, 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 victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, sing that with us. Oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs.
Christ,
over your circumstance and your situation. Oh, Jesus, whatever you're facing, whatever surrounding you, understand and be reminded that the victory is already yours because it belongs to Jesus. Father, we honor you.
We give you glory. Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh.
So we say to the Father,
tell me who can stand before us when we call on that great name. His name is Jesus. Jesus, precious Jesus.
You say, we have.
We have the victory.
Hallelujah.
Wow, victory belongs to Jesus. Church, how many of you believe that victory belongs to Jesus? The Bible said, thanks be unto God that give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Bobby Gibson, a.k.a. Pastor G. And we're getting ready to hear a powerful word from our pastor talking about faith over fear. It's going to be incredible. But I got a few announcements I want to make to you today. First one is, are you connected in the church? In other words, are you in a small group? We have several small groups, both for men, women, couples, singles, and we are asking you to get connected. They are all virtual, so you don't even have to leave the house. So come on, jump in and become a part of a small group. We got a spot just for you. You can go to the address on the screen, OCBF.Church/small group. Come on, let's get connected. And then if you're struggling during this pandemic, as many of us are, this pandemic is no joke. And it caused you to be down, angry, upset, fearful, whatever it is, we have an incredible counseling center that's ready and waiting and wanting to serve you virtually as well, by phone, even by Zoom. So you can call the number on the screen, which is 214-672-9152. Don't struggle alone. And I want to remind our members that when you get these emails, that's how you stay in touch. So open up the emails and see really what's going on at the Cliff. All right. Then also donation. We want to thank every one of you that have sacrificed and given donation to our pantry, which allowed us to have food to give to the community. It's just been amazing to have your help. We just want to say thank you. But it's not over yet. People are still struggling. So we want you to continue to give. And the address is on the screen, but there are specific dates and times that they want you to give. On Thursdays and Saturdays from 10 o'clock to 2 p.m., bring your donation. We really want them. And speaking of donation, next week on Tuesday, say Tuesday, next week, May the 5th, is our North Texas Giving Day. And it's an opportunity for you to go and above the call of duty and give to these incredible organizations that serve in our community. And we have two. We have the Turnaround Agenda, our outreach arm of our church, and as well as KCA, Kingdom Collegiate Academy, and that's our school. So come on next week on Tuesday and let's give. And now let's get ready to go into worship and hearing the word of God that our pastor, the angel of the house, has prepared just for us. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Well, good morning. This is Chris Will, Executive Director for the Turnaround Agenda and the Outreach Ministry at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church. As you can see, we're here again serving our community. I've just been thankful and excited about the way the church has come together. And it's just been a good combination of all of our ministries to try to make this happen. We're just thankful and delighted to be able to serve, and we recognize that the need is great. Even prior to the pandemic that we're experiencing, there's been so many people that needed food, and that's why we have a food pantry that we've been able to serve the community. We serve about 200 people a month in our food pantry. Individuals that may not have needed to have food before are losing jobs. They're having situations where they're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And so by us being able to do just a little something to be able to help them for a couple of weeks, we're just thankful for that. Now, we know the need is going to continue. So this is not something that we want to do one or two times, but as often as we're able to work this out where we can be able to have the North Texas Food Bank, we're going to be here. So if you have a need and you need to be able to utilize our food pantry and maybe you weren't able to come to one of these events, you can actually give us a call. But again, this is for our local community. So the number is 469-567-1793. Again, 469-567-1793. We're going to need for our church family to continue to give donations as you've already done. We've been so blessed by so many people that have come and dropped off food, and we need it to continue because we recognize, again, the need is great. And so again, on behalf of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Turnaround Agenda and also the vision of Dr. Tony Evans, our senior pastor, we just thank you and we pray that you have a blessed day.
All right, family, I'm excited right now because it's one of my favorite parts of the service. Every Sunday, every day really, when we have the opportunity to give. We always have the opportunity to give our time, our talent, and our treasures. And right now, we want to do just that. If you're an OCBF member, you know how to give. You can go to the OCBFchurch.org website. You can go to the OCBF app, and you can text OCBF to 797979. Do it right now. Text OCBF to 797979. If you're not a member, we want to make sure that you support your local church. Wherever you go, we want to make sure that you keep them healthy and keep them strong so that they can do the work of the ministry. However, if you're being fed by us today and you want to give where you're being fed, you can also text OCBF to 797979. Now we know we have a group out there that wants to go to the mailbox, and I'm not hating on you. You can do that by going to OCBF or sending it to OCBF at 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. You can send it to 1808 West Camp Wisdom Road, Dallas, Texas, 75232. And while you're contemplating and thinking and listening to the Spirit on what He would have you give today, I want to take you to one of our previously recorded worship experiences with our Unity Choir. Enjoy.
Have you seen the Lord work in your life? I know I have. I don't have time to tell the testimony, but one day I will. I just know that God has been better to me than I have been to myself, and I know that I've been very undeserving.
Sometimes you wonder why the troubles of life seem to weigh you down. Well, I found a friend that I highly recommend. He will stick closer than a brother, and he'll love you like no other. Yeah.
He will judge what you see. Doesn't matter what you believe. Oh Lord, where is he? Remember that God is working.
I challenge you today? I'm going to challenge myself too. In light of all that's been going on, I want to challenge us to put our faith over our fears. Sometimes you can't control fear because it just comes on you and it's just all up in your grill. I mean, it's just all over you because the circumstances make you afraid. But my challenge today is to place faith over your fears. When we were in school, the teacher would give you a test. Sometimes it would be a pop quiz. Sometimes it would be a major midterm or final exam. The test was always designed to see whether you had learned what was taught in preparation for where you were going next, the next grade level. So to go from one grade level to the next grade level, it involved a test. Not too many kids that I knew growing up or adults in my graduate education got all excited about a test, but they knew it was part of the curriculum. Part of the curriculum for your life and my life by God is a test. Now, a good teacher will only test you over information taught you. In other words, they don't give you tests over information you are not supposed to know, but information you're supposed to know, grasp, and be able to recite or utilize. Throughout Jesus' walk with his disciples, he would give them tests. And what he would be testing is their faith. Whether they believed what they heard or whether they were doing what a lot of us do every Sunday, just say amen without adopting and incorporating it into our functional lives. Moving it from theory to activity. One of those events is found in Mark chapter 4. I love this event. Jesus has been teaching like crazy. And he's been teaching about the kingdom of God. And he was just been laying it on all day. And he was explaining to his own disciples so that they would understand this rule of God and understand how they would live their lives underneath God and how they would have confidence in the God that they were to follow. On the next day, Jesus says to his followers, "Let us go to the other side." That is the other side of this 8-mile track across the Sea of Galilee. So they all get in their boats because they're hanging out with Jesus. It says, as they were going along, verse 37 says, there arose a fierce gale of wind and waves that were breaking over the boat, so much so that the boat was already filling up. Now you have to understand, a lot of these guys are fishermen. So they're used to being in the water, they're used to wind, they're used to waves. They understand how to roll in this environment. But this was different. The Greek word here is the word lilac. A lilac is a windstorm. It's a storm. The Sea of Galilee sits inside of a mountain range. And so sometimes when the wind blows up, it acts like a funnel and sucks it down, creating a major disturbance. When they left, everything was fine, but on their way, things got crazy. They were in a lilac. We're in a lilac. Corona is a lilac. Economic loss is a lilac. People being laid off is a lilac. Some stores not getting filled up as quickly that you need supply. That's a lilac. People are in the hospital in a lilac. A lilac is this storm that comes out of nowhere that disrupts your ordered life, that brings adversity and discouragement. That's what they're in. But please notice something. They're in a storm while they're also in the will of God. Did you hear that? Being in the will of God doesn't mean it's not going to thunderstorm on you. People ask, why? Why am I going through this when I'm serving God? Well, teachers give tests to good students and bad students, right? So they are in the will of God and in a storm, because both can happen simultaneously. Don't ever let anybody tell you if you're in the will of God, it won't rain. Sometimes you haven't seen rain until you're in the will of God. So you can be out of the will of God and in a storm, but they are in the will of God and in a storm. The boat is filling up. Now watch this. It says in verse 6:38 of Mark 4, Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Hello. What good is a Savior who's going to sleep on you when you're in a storm? Have you ever noticed when you were taking the test how silent the teacher was? You're in there struggling with the test, and the teacher will tell you, silent, please. Teacher will get quiet. Sometimes they even walk out the room. Sometimes when you're in a storm, Jesus will get quiet on you. The telephone line will seem busy. He'll seem like a million miles away. You won't be feeling him. Jesus is asleep. But notice, he's not just asleep, he's snoring. Because it tells us he sleep on a cushion. Now, if you sleep on a cushion, that doesn't mean you're doing that. You're not nodding. If you put a cushion as a pillow, he probably had a my pillow. You know, he got a pillow under him. If you put a pillow under you, that means you meant to go to sleep. You're sleeping on purpose. So Jesus intentionally goes to sleep when his followers are in trouble. If you're in the will of God right now, you're serving the Lord, you're obeying God, but you're still housed up with this virus, you still got your economic concerns, and Jesus seems far away. He's there, but he's just not moving yet. Says he was asleep in the stern on a pillow. And they woke him. That concept is they had to shake and bake. They had to get him up. They said, come on now, you can't be sleeping at a time like this, Jesus. And said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Whoa. That's what it feels like when you're in a test, you're in his will, and you can't hear from him. Don't you care? How can you be quiet at a time like this? How can you sleep when we are scared to death? Now, there were three storms happening at the same time. There is the external storm. That's the winds and the waves putting the water on the boat that was threatening their physical lives, okay? It's like this virus that threatens our physical well-being. There was this external storm that was invading them. But then there was an internal storm, because they were very much afraid. They're going to be told, why are you so afraid? So they are fearful for their lives. Now, for professional fishermen, of which a number of these men were, to be scared for their lives means this is not a regular storm. This is something that can hurt you. This is something that can take you under. So there's this external storm. Then there is this emotional storm. But then there was the worst storm of all, a spiritual storm. Because they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are struggling? Do you not care that we are hurting? Do you not care? Because sometimes when you're in a crisis, it feels like God doesn't care. Because if he cared, like Martha and Mary said, if you would have been here, if you hadn't delayed a few days, we wouldn't be going through this. We're going through this. Come on, Jesus. Sometimes, to tell the truth, you want to throw a red flag out on God. You football people know what that is. That's when the coach reaches in his pocket, pulls out a red flag and throws it on the field because he believes that the ref has made a mistake. Ref has made a bad call and I want to challenge it. Sometimes you want to ask God why. You don't know why he's allowed this. Don't you care? Don't you care what I'm going through? This red flag, this is a bad call. And yet they're in a storm. Jesus is asleep. they wake him up and they got a storm on the inside and a storm in their soul. You don't care. Where is God when it hurts? Jesus gets up. In verse 39, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. Some of your versions say, peace, be still. Well, now, wait a minute. If peace has to be still, that means peace must be moving. See, we need to understand a little bit about peace. Peace has nothing to do with external circumstances. Peace has to do with internal calm, regardless of external circumstances. That's why the Bible calls it the peace that passes understanding, because you don't understand why you would have it given what's going on around you. This is a time to be in turmoil and you are calm when everything around you is collapsing. It's like Rahab being calm in her house when the walls of Jericho are falling down. Peace is being able to rest in God even though everything is rocky around you. He tells peace to hush. Be still. Cool out. Calm down. Chill. Jesus speaks to nature. And when he says, hush, be still, immediately the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. See, that's how when you know it's God, because it's calm you didn't expect. Peace that passes understanding. Now this leads to Jesus asking a question. Why are you afraid? Verse 40 says, how is it that you have no faith? Now that seems like an odd question. We're in a storm. The boat's filling up. Our very lives are threatened. You're asleep. And you're going to ask us, why are we so afraid? And how is it we have no faith? That almost is like asking a swimmer, why are you wet? I mean, the question doesn't make sense. I can see Peter, because he's the one who liked to talk, saying, oh, let's see, maybe we're a little bit afraid because we're getting ready to die. I mean, come on, Jesus, come on. I don't understand the question. So here it is. As we face the crisis that we're dealing with and the ones that will come after this, when you're in the will of God and it's not working out, and Jesus says, why are you afraid? Meaning you shouldn't be. And why do you have, it says, no faith, because their little faith was gone. Here's the test. Jesus said before they left, let us go to the other side. Let me repeat that. Jesus said before they left, let us go to the other side. The test was, will you believe my word or will you believe your problem? The test was, is what I say more potent than what you see? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see the storm. That's real. You don't deny the virus. It's real. You don't deny the problem. It's real. You don't deny the finances. But what did I say? I said, let us. I didn't say let me. I said, oh, y'all, let us go to the other side. Other side, other side, other side, which means we all gonna make it. So I let a storm come in to see whether the amens you said on Sunday, you're believing in your storm on Monday, or whether you're just talking a good game because you're not, it's not raining yet. God wants to appeal, wants his people to appeal to his word in the midst of their storm, because the storms of life are tests, and tests are always designed to show us the level of our faith and to develop us to the next level of spiritual maturity. God wants to grow us through a storm. Are you growing in this quarantine? Or are you controlled by your fear? Or have you decided that I'm going to go with God's word and I'm going to let that trump my fear? My faith will trump my fear. This is a time to have biblical faith. That's not a feeling. You've heard me say it before. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Hey guys, God said we're going to make it to the other side. So he's in a pillow. He's got a MyPillow. Let me get my MyPillow. Y'all get your MyPillow. He sleep. Let's all sleep because he said we're going to make it to the other side. Since he's not worried and he's with us, then we're not going to worry either. He's on the boat. He's sleeping. And he told us we're going to make it to the other side. So either he's lying or he's trustworthy. See, a lot of Christians haven't decided whether Jesus is trustworthy or not, whether his word is true, whether his word is real, whether what he says has meat to it. It's time for faith to trump fear. You can't always stop fear from coming, but you can keep it from living in you. He says, why do you have no faith? In other words, I don't understand this, guys. I've been doing all this teaching, all these parables about my authority, all these parables about the word of God. I've been showing you my power and you still don't get it? Yes, I let the storm come on purpose because I want to see where you are. And I want you to see where you are because I already know where you are. I want you to see you. I want you to see whether those amens, hallelujahs, praise the Lord, isn't God good? All that good Sunday talk, I want to see if it got any meat on it. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to give you a test. Right now, are you passing the test God gives you, the test he brings into your life? Or when the test comes, do you throw away your faith because you didn't have a faith in the first place? You just had the right Christian vocabulary. You had learned to speak Christianese because, you know, Christians have their own vocabulary. You know, we can talk a good game. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. You know, we got it going on when it comes to the right sayings. But what happens when it's raining, thunderstorms? Well, it says in verse 41, then they became very much afraid. Let's pause there for a moment. Jesus says, why are you afraid? What were they afraid of? The storm, their circumstances had them panicking. But when they saw Jesus do his thing, they were very much afraid. What's the point? God wants you to fear him more than you fear what's wrong. He wants you to fear him more than you fear your circumstances. He wants your fear of him and his power to be greater than your fear of your problem. Now, no, you can't deny your problem. You don't act like the virus isn't there. The finances aren't shaking. The money's not funny. You don't act like pain isn't real, that you're not hurting physically, because then you would be lying. But he doesn't want you to limit it to that. He wants you to fear him. That's why there's so much in the Bible about the fear of God. They said when they saw him work, they said they were very much afraid, and they started talking to one another. And here's what they said. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see, they didn't know who they were dealing with. This shocked the socks off. Who is this? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know who you're dealing with? Let's talk about who Jesus is for a moment. He was born of a virgin. Because he was born of a virgin, there was a human part of his birth and a divine part of his birth because Mary's egg was fertilized, the scripture says, by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the most unique person that's ever lived because he's one person with two natures. He has a human nature. He has a divine nature. That's why he can be called one time the Son of God and the next time the Son of Man, because he's fully human and he's fully divine without any mixture of sin. We call this in theology the hypostatic union. It's defined for us in Philippians chapter 2 when deity, all that he has ever been throughout eternity, was poured into a container called humanity so that he could reveal God to us and come here as the sinless Savior to die on the cross and rise again from the dead. So he's both at the same time. So what can he do? Well, right here you see it. He can go to sleep because humans get sleepy. But then he can come and put nature to sleep because he's also divine. He can be born of a virgin. And at the same time, the Bible says he created the mother that gave him birth because he created all things. The animals that were in the stall when Jesus was born was created by the Jesus, the baby that was born in the same stall. In fact, the wood that made the manger come from a tree that he made because he created all creation that he had to utilize as a baby. He could get thirsty as a man, but because he's the Son of the living God, he can walk on water. He can get hungry because he's a man, but he can take sardines and crackers from a little boy and turn it into a Moby Dick sandwich and feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Oh, he's a man, so he can die. Oh, but as the living Son of God, he can get up out the grave. You see, you need to know who you're dealing with. He's the man, Jesus, who's the eternal Son of God. What manner of man is there? Who are we dealing with? See, we've dumbed down Jesus. We've made him nice and soft and sometimes even weak. We don't know he's the glorified Son of God, and he is the means to get to the Father. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. What we're saying is we need you to authorize this request. We need you to stand behind what we're asking the Big Mahaf, the Heavenly Father, what we're asking him to do. Because the beautiful thing about Jesus is because he's man, he can touch us. Because he's God, he can touch the Father, so he can hook the two up. What manner of man is this? You need to know who you're dealing with when you're dealing with Jesus. And let me tell you something about God's testing. He believes in retesting when you fail. He will retest you as many times as you fail. So you keep failing, you're going to keep getting retest in that same general vicinity until you learn the lesson. So why don't we start passing some tests so we can move on? Now, I know in the next grade you're going to get a new test, but that means you'll have new information to take the next test because he only tests you off of information he's given you. So it's time now for us to pass some tests, not just take tests, so that we can now go to the next spiritual level. When you and I learn who Jesus is, when you and I learn how awesome he is, when you and I learn how great he is, you see, he knows when we shucking and jiving. He knows when we're playing a game. It's like you can cook meat and it look done on the outside, but you stick that fork in there and you realize it's not done. It had the appearance of being done, but inside it wasn't cooked. So what do? You put it back in the oven again until you get it just right. God wants to get us just right. And he's not satisfied with how we look on the outside, because we look Christian, we look spiritual, we look full of faith, we look like we're growing, we look like we're depending, we look like we're prayerful, we look like we're victorious, because we've got all the right things, hang out with the right people, go to the right church, and we look like we look the part. But when he sticks the fork in, we're not done because we're not passing the test. God's going to test you, and he's going to retest you, and he wants you to pass so he can take you to the next spiritual level of development. Corona is one of those tests. As you sit home, are you passing the test or are you living in fear? Jesus may be silent, but when he's silent, he's not still. A little boy was on a plane, and the plane was in massive turbulence. He was sitting next to an elderly lady who was terrified. She was scared to death, trembling. The boy was playing with a toy. She said, "Boy, how can you be so calm when we're in this much trouble?" He says, "Well, the reason I can be calm is my daddy is the pilot." See, when you know who's at the controls, doesn't mean you won't be in turbulence, but you know who's in control to get you from where you are to the other side of where he wants you to go. When Paul talks about communion in 1 Corinthians 11, he ties it to the new covenant. This is the new covenant. This new covenant is a special, unique relationship that God has with his people. A covenant is a spiritually binding relationship. It's a divinely ordained relational bond. It's a special connection. When you get married, a person gets married, they enter into a covenant. That's not just a get-together. That is a unique level of intimacy. The call to communion is a call to intimacy. It is a call to closeness. It is a call because God wants you and me not just to know about Him, but to know Him in our experience, in our walk, in our talk, in our thoughts. When you take communion, it is saying, Lord, I want to be intimate with You. In the same way that a couple is intimate when they get married, God says, I want to be intimate with you regularly. I want us to share life together. And so when you take this bread and drink this cup, I want you to think about intimacy, covenant, closeness. It's where you're saying, Lord, draw near because I'm drawing near to you. I want to be yours and you to be mine. I want to be in your inner circle. I want to hear you whispering in my ear and touching my heart. Would you ask the Lord, as I pray before we take the emblems, to draw you near, to draw you close, and then will you pursue that is built on it all week long through time in His Word, time in prayer and praise, and then asking Him what He wants you to do and then doing it. Because when you draw near to Him, I can guarantee you, He will draw near to you. Father, as we take communion, would you enable your people, starting with me, to draw close, to feel you like we've never felt you, see you like we've never seen you, experience you like we've never experienced you, because we confess our sin and we seek a relationship. Receive us now in the name of the risen Christ. The bread is His body broken for an intimate connection. Shall we eat together? The cup is His shed blood, the price paid for this new covenant, this intimate relationship. Shall we drink together? Thank you, Father, because you call us your bride, and we want to be an intimate bride with our bridegroom. Amen.
Listen, it was awesome to worship with you today. I hope you enjoyed the message like I did and it spoke to your heart. It's so important to choose faith over fear, to make that conscious decision. It doesn't mean that you don't feel the fear. It just means that faith is more important, because fear doesn't have anything for you. It's just going to stop you from everything that God is calling you to be in a fearful situation. It was great to commune with you, worship with you, and I can't wait to do it again next week. Visit us at ocbfchurch.org, OCBF Facebook, or OCBF YouTube. We can't wait to worship with you again. Let's continue to grow together.